The Volume.
This Sessions is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook for a reason, y'all. It's so easy to use. It's safe and secure. That's one of the main things for me. I don't want any BS. I love that there's no BS with FanDuel. Plus, you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. Plus, it's super fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. It's awesome. So if you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with the promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, so that they know that I sent you. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789, and 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia. Hey guys, welcome to The Sessions. This is another interview that's been a long time coming. Me and this lady have been trying to connect for some time. This is another one I'm so stoked that we got to do in person. I kind of want to do all of my interviews in person now. Listen, Zoom, you've been good to us. I love Zoom. Am I the only person still saying that they love Zoom? I'm happy that I can do my job from home via Zoom, so thank you for that. But man, being in person is just so much better. It's so nice to see people and to connect, and I just feel like it just helps to tell the story better. It's nice to just kind of sit there and shoot the shit with somebody and have a time. So I got to do that with Toni Storm. This woman is just an undeniable star athlete. I feel like the word rock star is very synonymous with Toni Storm, and she is all those things. So let's get into it. Here's Toni Storm.
Toni Storm!
We had a little false start to begin with, so here we are. This is a real introduction. Toni Storm, finally sitting here with me. I feel like we've been trying to get this in the books, trying to get on the same page. And I'm so glad that we waited until we're here in the same room. And now we can just like do this thing.
This is way cooler than Zoom.
It is so much better than Zoom.
Yeah, I'm glad we waited. It's fancy.
This is what you deserve.
Thank you.
Matches your necklace.
Oh, I know. I didn't even, can you believe it? I didn't even intend on this.
I feel like it was kind of fate because like your necklace matches the signage, and then Nyla Rose was also in here and her hair matches the colors. So it's all just coming up.
It's all written in the sessions.
It is. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Vegas.
You're in Vegas.
I'm in Vegas. And I didn't win my match last night.
That was some bullshit, by the way.
That was some bullshit that went down. But I'm all good. I'm keeping it together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is Vegas treating you okay?
So far, yeah. I keep seeing the pool though. Like from my hotel room, I've got an aerial shot of the whole of the pool system.
The whole system.
The whole thing. And I'm like, haven't been able to get down there yet. And I'm like, oh God, just let me go.
It needs to happen. Yeah. Hopefully, maybe today. Hopefully.
I'm thinking so.
I think today might be your day.
I think I've got a good feeling about it.
It's time to go for it. Okay, let's talk some wrestling. Talk to me about your debut with AEW. How was that day?
That was a trip, wasn't it? That was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't really have much notice going into that. It was kind of a last minute thing. I had no idea what the future had. You know, for me, I didn't know if I was going to get a job. I don't know if I was going to, I had no idea what was next. And then I get a call last second after my 90 days was up. And I was like, I mean, okay. You know,
dust off your boots.
I didn't even
hesitate.
I just went, yeah, okay, I'll be there. See you soon.
What was like, what a weird time though. I mean, I know those 90 days.
I had a 12 month non-compete.
A 12 month non-compete. Yeah,
12 months. But that's neither here nor there. It's past. Who cares? Not a big deal. But in those 90 days for you, like, what does that feel like to not know? What am I going to do? What does the future hold? I mean, just from like my perspective of you, from when I first met you coming in doing the Mae Young Classic and there's all this buzz, Toni Storm. We all love Toni Storm. This chick is a rock star. She's such a star. To you feeling like, I don't know what's next for me. That's crazy.
That was a good time for me during the Mae Young. And like, you know, I had some good times in WWE. And then it was like, it was cool at one point and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then it changed and I didn't want anything to do with it.
When you got into WWE and you were doing the Mae Young and I feel like there was always a lot of steam behind you and a lot of power behind you, like seeing you as going to be one of the big stars from going on to NXT UK to being champion for NXT UK. When did things change?
When I went from NXT to SmackDown, I was like, you know, I mean, my main goal in wrestling was to be on, you know, Raw or SmackDown, main roster, WWE TV. And then I got there and figured it out pretty soon. I realized like, this is just not going to work out. And also I'm 26 and I want to have a really good time in this job. I want to have a really good career and I want to enjoy part of it. And I just wasn't enjoying it for so long. And I abruptly quit. I didn't even intend. I woke up that morning having no idea that I was going to quit by that
crazy
night. Yeah, I just snapped out of the blue. And then all of a sudden I was on this 90 days.
Yeah.
And during that time, I wasn't expecting to have all this time off. I thought for sure I was going to just continue working there forever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden this 90 days hits me and I don't know what. I don't know if AEW would have me. I don't know what I'm going to do. But my first thought was probably, maybe I'll go back to Japan.
Yeah.
Because I liked it out there.
Yeah.
And I was going back and forth for a while in my own head of, oh God, do I even want to do this anymore? Because I was so frustrated. As you can imagine, like, it can be frustrating. And really, it got me pretty down. And then in that 90 days, it was just about figuring out, like, what's next?
Yeah.
And I went back to Australia because I hadn't been home in 2.5 years. Oh, and
that's nice.
It was good to go back. And I went back for a month and, like reset.
I feel like getting back to like your roots during a time like that, because it can be, you can start to feel really lost when you're not sure what you're doing.
Yeah.
The creative's not really what you thought it was going to be. This job that you thought was going to be the thing that you love and really wanted to do just wasn't what you thought it was going to be. It can be a real mindset.
It's weird. I mean, I say it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, people weren't telling me that it was going to be probably terrible for years. I heard that of so many people. So many people were like, yeah, it's not, like, a lot of people don't enjoy it at all. And it can be, for some people it just works out and for others it just makes them miserable. And I guess I just fell into that category. I guess it just wasn't for me at that point. And
thank God you realized it. You realized it pretty early on. Like, it's not like you hung out too long to like really let it get super under your skin. It's cool that you jumped to that conclusion early enough.
I mean, let's face it. They just fire people left, right, and center out of the blue. I could be fired next week. And then it's like, what's the point?
Yep.
It just felt very pointless.
Yeah.
And to be honest, and it's been hard to convey that, especially to fans, especially to people that just aren't in this business and they'll never understand. It's I must sound ridiculous to those people, but the reality of what it's actually like,
when you don't really know, and I know, like, it's a rough spot to be in because the last thing anyone wants to do is like sound like they're bitter or they weren't handed the right cards and blah, blah, blah. But it's not that. There's more layers to it than that.
I'm like not mad about the booking and rah, 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 and I'm like, I certainly don't want to bury WWE. I don't want to like say bad things about the place. I think I had a great time there for the most part. There were times I have very great memories. It made me who I am, essentially. Yeah. Like, I feel like I grew up with them. I had a very unique relationship.
How old were you when you signed? Like 21?
I did that first Mae Young Classic. I worked with them then, and then I did the second one immediately following that NXT UK kind of status.
Yeah.
So I was, from then on, more 2018, I was contracted. And then eventually I worked my way up to going over to NXT and And I got to do like the Royal Rumble and Survivor Series randomly. Yeah. And I got
Were those good experiences?
Yeah. I mean, they were crazy. They were, you know, it was like, I'm lucky that I got to experience all of this. I got to work with some amazing coaches and I'm not mad. I'm not like angry at WWE. I don't have anything against them. And we
just wasn't the fit that like you wanted
they probably, I'm sure they got bigger fish to fry than me. You know what I mean? Like, why do they care? People get let go from that place constantly. People move around constantly. It doesn't matter if I'm there, but what matters is, well, I'm not having a very good time. And why shouldn't I be having a good time?
What was that day like that you decided? Because you said you woke up and it's not like you had it in your head. Hey, this isn't for me. I'm going to duck out of here today. What happened for you to go, I got to go have this conversation? Did you go to Vince or did you go to Johnny? Who'd you talk to?
Oh, it was a complicated ordeal. You just love a good complicated ordeal.
Love it.
I mean, I had built up frustrations with the place for a very long time. Like a lot of people do. Not, you know, just like the next guy. Everyone seems to have, some kind of...
It's a very insular world as well. Yeah. And that's the other thing too that I think for other people to understand. It's like when you're in that bubble, you're in that bubble and we're all on the same ship. We all understand what the sacrifices are. We understand what the day-to-day is like. And it's grueling. It's a lot.
They don't give a shit. So why should I?
Yeah.
This isn't going to work. I know what's going to happen here. I'm just going to be sent back to catering again. It's just not going to, you know, and like, it's just not, I'm not going to succeed here. I can just see it. I know that I'm.
That is crazy though.
I know
though,
they see me
like,
as I'm such a kid and I'm such a newbie and this, that and the other, but I'd like to think that I've been around wrestling long enough to know like what, like I just know what's right and what's wrong for me and what I like and what I don't like. And I just didn't like
it. Well, it's also like sort of the edict that I'm hearing as well too of like, well, they really want very young talent.
Yeah.
And to have somebody like you who is young, but also has a ton of experience, it does seem a little crazy to me that for you to feel that way and for them to not want to like really hold on to you.
Yeah, I didn't feel that appreciated a lot. You know what I mean? Like, and I just felt like they didn't at times have very much respect for me. And it just was, it totally... I feel like over time, they just kind of crushed my love for wrestling. It just wasn't even wrestling anymore. You're not even allowed to say wrestling. Like, you're not even allowed to, you get given the group texts of, like, you know, don't say professional wrestling in promos and this, that, and the other. And like,
oh yeah.
I understand, but like, whatever. But this, I don't know, over time, it just kind of, there's so much fuckery, you know? so much bullshit, each to their own. Some people don't get that, and some people do. And I was just sick of it. I was just tired of what am I doing this for? What am I trying to prove to anyone? Will anyone think any differently of me? Really? Do people really care where I go and do fake wrestling moves? Really? Do people really care that bad that I've got to be miserable day in, day out? Just because people go, oh, well, that was ungrateful and she shouldn't have done that and blah, blah. Well, I was unhappy and why should I be unhappy? What? Yeah. It's so that I can like do WrestleMania. Well, okay, well that's nice and everything, but I'm still gonna be miserable the next day.
Yeah. Still and Raw's just, gonna roll around or SmackDown's gonna roll around.
I thought my whole purpose in life was to go to WWE, but then over time I realized it's just pro wrestling that I love. It's not a company that I love. I just love pro wrestling. What it is. And
was it scary when you felt like you didn't love wrestling anymore?
It was terrifying. It was so sad.
I can imagine the like tears shed over it's like losing a love of, I mean, it is, it's losing the love of your life.
Yeah. It was just something that
no offense, Juice. Love you, but
but it was, you know, something that I once just enjoyed is now just it's a job. I wasn't like psyched to go to work anymore.
Yeah.
Like I used to be. I was like that in NXT. I was like it. And quickly I was like, this isn't gonna work out because this is
the
pinnacle right here. And I'm already miserable. And I quite frankly, I see other people and they're miserable as well. And I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
I don't want
to have control over it to a degree. And luckily you were given that control, that you were given that release.
A bit more control over my life because I felt like was none.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain because it's like you got to be in you got to be there to really know.
100%.
Actually in sales, but you would know.
No, I know. Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
What was the feeling when they were like, okay, we are going to give you your release? Were you, what were you going through?
It was okay. To be honest, to be completely honest, people probably, I don't know, hate me for it, but I just wanted to just get them off me. It was like, I wanted to get the stink off me. I just was done with it. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know what I mean? I just, not that I think, nothing bad to them. It was just like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, I don't know. I guess, you know, if anyone asked, Toni Storm quit WWE because she went insane.
Did you feel insane. Like you were going insane like during that?
I
was
going insane. I hadn't eaten for days. I hadn't slept for days. It's not like I was drinking or going out partying and like, I was sober like this. I was like, oh my God, this has got to end. I'm just, you know,
and then
I'm looking at, okay, well, I'd never considered a life outside of WWE. I'd never even dreamed of what that would be like because my life was just be in WWE.
And
that's what it's been like since I was a 10-year-old girl. And it's just been studying WWE. What do I have to do to be good enough for them? What have I got to do to be there? What have I got to do to be the number one person there? And it was just, it was just exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, and you know what? If my life is dependent on being WWE champion, then I'm a mark and that's just lame. God, like not real.
Well, listen, we don't have to like dwell on this too much. And this doesn't need to be like the bulk of what this interview is.
No.
But what was that final straw for you when you're like, I gotta go. I have to ask for my release right now.
It was a very complicated day, but I just, just all built up, pent up frustration. I'm not being funny, but it was like, they call you out like a paramedic, like you know what I mean. Like you're on call, and I'm not an open heart surgeon, you know. Mm-hmm. This is wrestling.
Yeah,
you don't need to like have full control over every second of my life.
Yeah,
like, there just wasn't. And people think that I was just burnt out with the hard schedule, and it's like no, it's not the hard schedule because quite frankly, my indie schedule was ballistic. I never went home.
Yeah.
I never go home. I'm chasing those busy days, you know?
Yeah.
I'm chasing like working a lot and I'm working really hard. I love that, but like not like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, for sure.
Not when it's, you know.
So in that lull of you not being with WWE, not sure what the future was holding, you're falling out of love with professional wrestling. Was it getting that phone call to go to AEW that was a thing that reignited your passion for what you do?
Yeah, but I felt like weeks prior to that, during that 90 days, I was kind of like, I was contacted to do Ring of Honor for WrestleMania weekend. And that was before Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But when I was contacted about that, I was like, the thought of me wrestling again, I was like, oh, hey, like that.
Yeah.
I would like to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I got really excited again and I hadn't felt that in a while.
Yeah.
Something clicked. I was like, oh man,
I do still love
it. I do. Of course I do. It's the best job in the world and it shouldn't be misery.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was something that I always felt when I was there as well. I was like, this should be the most fun job in the world.
Yeah.
And it becomes so micromanaged and focused on the minutia that you're like, I don't even know. Am I breathing properly? Like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Am I good at this at all? Like, I don't know what is happening. It can really just like, you feel like you're underwater. You're like, somebody throw me a lifeline. Like, I don't know what I'm doing
Everything
anymore.
You just said.
Yeah,
really resonated.
It can be rough.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, yeah. This is going to be a thing. They're bitter. Blah 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 blah.
I'm totally not bitter though. I'm so glad I experienced it.
Yes,
and like, good for those that do well in that place.
100%.
Awesome. Like that's, you know, that's so good.
And you know, it is. It's such a difference too, because you know, the people that thrive in and there's people that can thrive in WWE, and they can also thrive outside of WWE. But there's some people that like. That formula works for them.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's great. how do you prefer, obviously you prefer to not work like that, but to now be able to be more in the driver's seat of what your matches are like, what your promos are like, to not have to wait for, you know, creative necessarily to come and say, hey, here's what you have, here's your segment, blah, blah, blah.
I guess I'm one of those guys that prefers, like, I don't know, was I on the indies too long or something? And now I just like, I got too used to having all, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if it's that. See, this is what I meant about, like, it's hard to convey.
I know. Well, hey, screw it. We'll move on to the next thing. AEW, when you debuted, what was that day like?
I've loved it so far. I'm like a pig in shit in AEW.
Girl, get that shit on
I just,
me.
I don't know. There's something about the place that I feel like I fit. I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to do better there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Maybe I just didn't fit into, maybe it wasn't WWE. It was just me.
I mean, listen, there's the square peg, round hole, trying to like, you try to make something work. And honestly, like, I do applaud you for not continuing to do something just because you feel like this is a thing I'm supposed to be doing. And regardless of whether it's making me happy or not, because sometimes it takes people a longer time to realize that they're unhappy because you just feel like I shouldn't be ungrateful. I should be so happy for the things that I want and for the things that I have. And these are amazing opportunities and amazing experiences, but sometimes it's just not fucking for everybody.
There's no point in me wasting their time.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm just not fitted for this company, then screw it.
Yeah.
We'll just... Then don't have me here. Give it to someone that's better.
Yeah, of course.
You know, whatever. I'll just go and do my thing somewhere else. And thank God I did because I feel like I'm doing better than ever.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling like I'm maturing and this is just what I was supposed to do.
You can't put a price tag on having that freedom and just feeling like yourself. It's fucking weird when you don't feel like yourself.
Weird.
It's really rough. It's really, really rough.
I feel really good now. I'm doing my thing and I'm...
Hell yeah.
I'm getting out of that funk and I really feel like,
you're where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Fight fans, take your best shot with $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. It doesn't matter if your fighter gets knocked out or tapped out. New customers get an instant $200 in free bets on your first bet of $5. Just sign up with promo code Renee to bet on all the biggest boxing matches and UFC fights. Choose from the money line to the method of victory and so much more. To get your $200 in free bets guaranteed, just sign up with promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, 21 plus in select states, $10 first deposit required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable fee, bets that expire 14 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, or Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 for Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT for Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. The Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia.
Let's talk a little OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into the OnlyFans.
Yes.
Were you blown away with how this took off and just seeing the money rolling in and people want to see a little more. Tony Storm.
People think that I quit to do OnlyFans, which wasn't the case because I didn't know that. I mean, I knew about it, but I didn't know what it entailed, what it actually.
Sure.
Was how much money was to be made on it. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of fell into it and I had some friends help me out and thank God I quit and I did that. And I like, thank God because this
is created this instant buzz too, where people are like, oh,
it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, to be honest, quitting was better for me, not just mentally, but financially.
Yeah.
It's a way better thing. Cause now like I can have my OnlyFans and that's all mine.
Yeah.
I'm in control of all of that. Whereas you can't have that in WWE.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. And I have that and I can also do AEW and, you know, people thought I quit because I was burnt out, but like, no, now I've got two jobs. Yeah.
How much work is it doing OnlyFans? Like what goes into that? What's like, so I mean, my education on OnlyFans is like, okay, you subscribe to it, you get exclusive photos, blah, blah, blah. Great. But from your side of it, what does that look like for you on like the business side of your OnlyFans?
It's a lot of photo shoots. Yeah. It's content. Like, I can't believe how much content you just go through because I post a picture every single day. So that's a lot of sets. Yeah. a lot of costumes, a lot of lingerie, a lot of swimsuits. That's a lot. Yeah.
Your drawers must be a shit show.
It's crazy. Yeah. So like the whole house is just like Victoria's Secret.
That's great.
It's great. But you know what? I have so much fun and I'm really channeling this creative side.
Yeah.
That I didn't have before. I didn't know what it was like would really entail, but I'm loving it. I get so creative. It's making me feel confident and stuff. And it's a great way for my fans to get into my life and see, like, you know, who get to know me a little bit and they, you know, they can message me and interact with me. And I think it's a really good thing. And it's great for women that we get to have that.
100%.
It's so good
for you to be in the driver's seat and to make money off of it. And it's done on entirely your own terms.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I can imagine the confidence that comes from that and the creativity as well.
Everything that I post is like completely up to me. And I love,
What's the line? Do you have a line of where the line is drawn in the sand of what you will or will not do?
I don't do like full frontal nudity. I don't do like people think. I had someone think that I was just straight up doing porn on there. And I'm like, no, not quite. but I do like.
Charge a lot more money for that. Sure.
Got a little bit extra for that. but I do some pretty risque photo shoots, like a lot of implied nudity and stuff like that. But I try to keep it as classy as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel beautiful doing it, to be honest. Good. I think it's a really empowering thing.
I love that.
I really have fun.
When you were putting this together, what were your conversations are you guys married?
We're married.
Are married. Funny, John and I were talking about that the other day. He's like, are they married yet? I'm like, I think so, because there's stuff that says Robinson on it.
So after I quit WWE, like I went really quiet for a bit and it was obviously, you know, a weird time. So we were kind of like, should we just get married? Like things are already kind of strange right now. So we should probably just get married. So we did.
How did you guys do it? Oh, you went to like the courthouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to have like a big wedding and then we made the guest list and went, so much work.
Oh my God.
Let's just get married.
I could not imagine. So John and I did something very similar when we were living in Vegas. We're like, let's just do it. It was like 2 a.m. We're like, let's just do it now. We did it in our backyard. We called a pastor off Yelp that could come and do it. And we're like, it cost us $500, including the tip. Done and done. Easy, easy.
The best.
So much better.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those are the best because I just didn't want to deal with the stress.
It's just for you. Yeah.
Yes,
it's stressful. And then it's like, it's a really special moment just for you guys. Like, yes, of course, in a perfect world, it would be nice to have our family there and all those nice things. Sure.
But also like
no life.
Walking down the aisle to music in a costume is what I do for a living. And I do not need my mother and like everyone around watching me do that awkward shit.
Did you guys do like a first dance though? Did you guys have a little moment?
Well, so
what's like your song?
Well,
I have so many questions.
Well, we had the wedding. We did it like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were like, we were giggling. You know, we were having a great time. It was just me and him. We don't even have to have witnesses in Florida, it turns out. Mm. So we just went down the the county clerk, and we left the marriage license in the car, and you know that was hilarious. And we were like queued up to get married.
Oh shit! Like, hold on, we gotta run to the car. One sec.
It was, you know, you go and like, we're doing our vows next to a filing cabinet, you know, it's totally, you know, romance. But then after that, we just hung out for the day in our house with our dog. And we just had the best day ever because it was just us. Just us. So when we get time alone, we're like,
soak it up.
Yeah.
It's funny. I so feel the same way when we did ours. I was like, I love that it was like just us and we like, had to consummate it in the fucking closet because the dog was jumping. It was a whole situation. How did you guys meet? Because I remember seeing this like pop up on either your Instagram or his Instagram. And I was like, hold on. I love this. What is like your guys' origin story?
So it's so complicated. The first time I ever met him was 2015. He had just left WWE.
Uh-huh.
Very similar people. And he was in England doing All-Star. And they're like summer camps and you wrestle sometimes twice a day at Butlins and stuff like that. And I met him, like you meet at this big house and everyone meets up and you go and do your like show loop, whether it's okay. in Blackpool or Wales or yeah, all over the UK. And I met him very briefly at that house. It was just like, hi, I was 19. I was like, hey. You know?
Hey, what's up?
You know, yeah, didn't, you know, and like, I didn't really think anything of it. I just knew that I'd met him. And yeah. then I started doing Stardom in Japan and I was out there a lot. And then in 2017, I would just see him here and there. I would see him like, cause you know, New Japan and Stardom, like
yeah.
Sometimes you're all at the same events, you bump into each other mm-hmm. and here and there we would end up at the same dinner parties and like we would have a few drinks together here and there. And then I just always thought he was the coolest guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, like nothing happened for you. Like we were just like, so, it was so innocent and like, oh, hi. I would always like, if someone mentioned him, I'd be like, oh, I love him. He's yeah. so cool. And I thought he was so sweet and just so charming. And I nothing ever happened until like we hung out a couple of times in Japan. He took me out on a date in Harajuku.
Oh.
And, like, but then again, like I went back to England and was doing my thing and he was doing his and life was so chaotic for both of us because we've both lived very fast paced lifestyle
yeah.
in Japan and everything. And then the pandemic hit and he just texted me out of the blue when I was living completely alone. I was just like, I hadn't seen anyone for a month. Nothing much was going on. And he just texted me out the blue and I was like, oh my God. Cheers, Robinson. Hey. And then, like, we haven't stopped talking ever since. And we got married.
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
Such good times.
That's the best. Yeah.
And when I got stuck,
what a great pair.
When I got stuck trying to move over from England to the States, I was living in London for a while. I got stuck out there, stranded.
Yeah.
And he, like, randomly turned up and surprised me. He was able to get from America to the UK and be with me for a while. When I was,
oh,
yeah.
buddy.
So our relationship got started very strangely, like over yeah. the phone.
Yeah. You know what? John and I were almost like that too for a while. Like we would see each other on the road and we would like hang out like at the building and stuff a little bit here and there. And then, yeah, we would talk and talk and talk and talk. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, wait, do I love this person? Oh shit. Oh no.
Yeah.
Now we're like married, have a baby, dog, blah, blah, blah. All of these things. Yeah. But it is. It's you got just a baby. The best. Yeah. It's so, so great. When did you know that you were in love with him?
Oh, as soon as he texted me. As soon as he texted me out the blue. Well, I mean, I always thump, thought thump. He was the. I mean, I thought we had just lost contact. He changes his number a lot. And so, but he, like, I guess he kept mine. A random number popped up and it was him. I was like, oh, yay. I like you. He's changed my entire life.
Yeah.
He's made me such a better human being. Because I was just a kid bouncing around the world, wrestling and. Being crazy and like he's been the same. He's a wild man. But
he's a wild man, yeah. So,
like I feel like people think we're like this crazy Florida couple that just maniacs, but we don't even drink alcohol. We just sit around our backyard with our dog.
Yeah.
We're just the most boring people. And we really have I feel like we have a good effect on each other.
I love that.
He's the best.
I actually love just being boring with somebody. Like John and I are like very, like we had our heyday. We had our time when we're on yeah. the road and we're like having
you
all that time.
Together. Yeah.
Now we're like, we're both looking at our clocks being like, okay, it's like 9:30. It's close enough. We can start going to bed now. This is great. Let's shut it down. Like it's the best.
That's what's happening to us.
We sit and read our books in bed. It's great.
Yeah. We're all into home improvements now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you should see us when it comes down to like sorting out the patio. It's crazy. Like we're... Yeah, it's the best. It's like, he's my best friend. He's my partner. We're the Robinsons.
You guys are the Robinsons.
We're the Robinsons.
And I love everything that he's doing in New Japan right now,
he's
too.
Killing
it's
it.
Really great.
He's absolutely killing
he
it.
He looks like a million bucks,
He's
too.
The best I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
And we just, we try to really take care of each other. And,
yeah.
and we train together. And he really teaches me and helps me with wrestling as well. Like
yeah.
He's just had such a good effect on my life. A lot of people, everyone loves him as well. Everyone's always saying,
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say a bad word
Never.
About that guy.
Yeah.
Ever.
He's not got a bad bone in his body. He's such a good human being.
Oh, you know what? I could talk a little shit on him.
There's always something.
Mine's such a random little story though. When I was in Japan with John, And we all went out to go do karaoke afterwards. And it's me, John, and Juice in an elevator. I feel like somebody else was with us too. Jay White was there, but he was not in the elevator. So we're on the elevator, which is really, really tiny. And he goes, imagine it got stopped and we all got stuck in here. And I'm like, that is like my nightmare. We literally get off and like, John, I need to go stand outside for a second. Like, I think I'm having a panic attack.
Seriously.
He totally freaked me out that I was like, if I'm stuck in here staring at both of your guys' faces like this close to me, like I'm going to lose my mind. So thank
you, Juice,
for the,
like, as much as he's a sweet anxiety. Boy, he's like, he does a lot of jokes.
Oh my God.
He thinks he's very funny. He is very funny, he's but funny. Like, yeah. He thinks he's very, very funny.
So him and John are buddies. They're both like that. Yeah. Losers. You're losers.
Crazy men.
Let's talk about when you came out as bisexual on the NXT's, you did it on their Instagram page or an Instagram story.
They were doing a pride thing. Yeah.
This is such a public way to come out like that. What was, like, what was that all? What did you, were you like processing it in the sense that it was going to be this big thing on a big platform? Or was it just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just do this.
I mean, again, another weird ordeal. they had me on for the pride thing.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I don't know how it came up. I think I was joking about like, oh, well, I'm bisexual because I am. So I'll just, what, should I announce it? Is that like, should I do that? Is that what we have to do? I don't know.
Is that what this assignment is right now?
I was just talking. I was just blabbing on. And then they were like, it would be really good. Like, if you want to, you can like announce, like it would be, people would probably really like that. And, and I was just like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, it's no harm in being open about stuff.
No.
Might encourage other people to be open about stuff. Sure. Might make them feel better. I don't know.
So there was no like real thought of like, this is going to be my moment. I'm going to do this. It was just a very casual, like, yeah, sure, let's put it out there.
I'm pretty open about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an easier way to be, right?
Yeah, I'm an open book.
I love that. Put it all out there.
Yeah. I mean, nothing much phases me anymore, to be honest. I've had a nude leak. I've had videos, you know, now I'm just,
oh God, what is that like having a nude leak?
I mean, that was the shits. But again, starting an OnlyFans has weirdly helped.
Yeah.
Because there's a great deal of difference between wanting to share that kind of thing and or then, you know, having it taken from me and publicized. And that was the shits when that all happened. It totally sucked. It broke me down. But like now I feel like I've built myself back up and then some because, you know, it's like, what are you going to do?
And it's like,
subscribe to my OnlyFans now if you want to see a new, I leak my own nudes now.
I'll leak the good ones. Yeah. I'll give you like the good stuff.
And it's all come full circle. I feel way better about that. And I, it's just like,
therapeutic. I mean, I've not been in a situation like that, but it is that thing where it's like, it's actually pretty like, I'm sure when you're in it, it's like, oh my God, what's happened? What's going on? What do you mean? But I feel like the world moves so fast that it's like, oh yeah, that thing happened. And like, eh, all right. Well,
it was old news. Like after a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People try to like mock me for it and stuff like with like fans and stuff.
Still?
I'm like, do you think I actually give a shit at all anymore?
So weird.
About this stuff. Like people try to use it, I guess, to kind of bully you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
People are so weird like that. They get like a little nugget and they're like, this is the thing I'm going to keep picking at. It's like a little scab. Or
it's just bored people.
Yeah.
It's just bored people in their basements.
Yeah.
Bored.
Football fans, check out the Three and Out podcast with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network. John brings his unique perspective as an ex-NFL scout to the Volume to break down all the news around the NFL and college football. Whether you're looking for game predictions, coaching searches, the ins and outs of the NFL front office, even an occasional golf tip, John has you covered. Download Three and Out with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
Speaking of people in their basements bored, you don't have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Is this why? Because of these like people that are bored in their basements?
I just feel like there's too many uneducated opinions.
Yeah.
And people listen and like and read. And it's just so toxic. And I feel like it drags and time consuming. I feel like I get way much more shit done now that I don't have Twitter, I don't drink alcohol, and I don't work for WWE. So I'm like just feeling
free lady.
Like I'm fucking killing it. I'm sorry, I have to put that. I just everything that I didn't like, I just got rid of. And I encourage you all to do the same. I just anything bothering you, just get rid of it as quick as you can.
I mean, very sound advice though. But it's hard. It is hard to do that because I know as much as like even like today, I was like, oh my God, I think my Instagram account's being hacked. And in my head, I'm like, okay, what does this mean? Is like, can I not have access to this anymore? Blah, blah, blah. But then I was like, oh, I just can't use this right now. Great. I didn't even realize how much I mindlessly would just like open and refresh and scroll. And I'm seriously, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Do something else with your life.
I don't try. I avoid social media, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just too much. It's like way too many voices saying way too many stupid things. And we like agree with it because it's on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's something about that that kind of freaks me out. And you hear about how just depressed people get after what like strangers say. I'm like, who are these people really? Yeah. Who is this at John4296 talking shit? I don't fucking care.
John4296 right now. It's like, oh my God.
Exactly. It's like after like 12, 13 years of taking bumps on my neck, I don't give a shit if they don't think that I had a good match. Because chances are I probably don't think I had a good match either. Right. And people are like burying me on the internet. I don't need that because I've already got voices in my head telling me all the same negative shit.
Yep.
And there's just enough negativity for everyone. And we don't need it to being spread around. And it just doesn't manifest much positivity. I don't
know. You're so right. Honestly,
am I the Dalai Lama? Am I Tony Robbins? Tony Robbins? I'm going to have my own shows.
No, it's true though. It's really like that really resonates with me when it's like, and that's the thing that I think fucks with us. Cause like if somebody is saying something mean to me and they're picking a thing that I already know, it's like, listen, I don't need you to jump on it. I'm already on myself. Like I got it.
Exactly.
I don't need you to tell me that this is the shit.
I don't need people
telling
my selling isn't good enough.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Care.
Yeah.
What these like people on the keyboards have to say, I'm going to listen to people that are educated in that department as to what my work is. You know, in regards to my work, I'm going to go to people that know what they're talking about.
Who are the people that you go to for advice or people that you kind of lean on for matches and wrestling and all that?
I mean, my quick go-to is obviously my husband because he's there. Very convenient right there. there's a great crew at AEW that's helping me out a lot. William Regal's a good one to go to.
Love me some William Regal.
I love me some William Regal. I know that I can go to him if I need help and stuff. He's like since NXT UK and stuff, he's really been someone that I've who's helped me so much.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And love him.
There's so many that I've got, you know, helping me, making sure I, you know, and I'm gonna go to those people before I'm gonna listen to Twitter.
Yes.
Because I just like and also wrestling is an art. It's subjective. Therefore, like these opinions don't mean shit. Do you like it or do you not? Buy a ticket. Enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy it, I'm so, so sorry. Don't watch me then, I guess. I guess that's what I've just always been trying to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't agree that I quit WWE? Then you go. You go do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the keys. You go do it.
You go do it.
Go have fun. we've got free young Tony doing her thing. What's your dream match right now?
Oh, there's so many. Because just the women's division, I think is stacked. There's so many good women there. That Chris Statlander
looks
incredible. If anyone's seen her work, amazing. Serena Deeb is at AEW.
Yeah.
The women's division is incredible. Riho, amazing.
Yeah.
I've briefly wrestled Sheeta when I was 17 once in a dive.
Oh, really?
Randomly.
Randomly.
I would like to get in there with her again. Yeah. There's so many. There's no one that I wouldn't want to work with.
Yeah.
So much potential, such a bright future for the AEW women's division.
Certainly.
I believe in it. I believe it's going to skyrocket.
100%. That's right. Skyrocket, take off. Yeah, 100%. But no, it's true. I mean, as more people are a part of AEW and it continually is growing and expanding, I think the women's division there is only getting stronger and stronger, and you guys are crushing it.
There's a lot of passionate women. There's a lot of women that are like, not going to take no for an answer. And I feel like I'm a part of something special.
Well, Tony, I'm so excited that we got to do this in person.
Yay, we finally got to do it.
We did it. You are the best. I'm really happy that you are where you are doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. It's actually like pumps me up to see someone just go, you know what? This is actually not serving me. So I'm going to ditch it. And it's really cool to see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's what it's about.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, hey, enjoy a little Cirque tonight, would you?
Oh yeah, I will.
Thank you to Toni Storm for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to see you, seeing you kicking ass, taking names, doing your thing, and just being happy. I love seeing somebody being happy and doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing. That was my big takeaway from this interview with Toni. It's like, you know, she just felt like what she was doing wasn't really serving her and it wasn't making her happy. And she took that leap to make herself happy. And obviously easier said than done, no question. So I applaud her for jumping on that and going with what her gut was telling her to do. Kudos to you. We can all take a little page out of Toni Storm's book. I love it. All right, guys, until next time, this has been The Sessions. Adios.